And welcome back to Coast. And for the next couple of hours, we're going to talk about We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World. I'm really looking forward to this. You know, I used to have dogs, almost all my life, and one little cat and a lot of little hamsters. But there's just nothing like looking into the eyes of an animal. They just know. They know. Anyway, Sandra Mendelson joins us. We're going to talk about animals and communication next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. That was an interesting debate, was it not? John Curtis racking up some big points, well over 70% against Howard Bloom as well. Well, you're going to have a great time with our next guest, Sandra Mendelson. Her latest book is called We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World. Sandra facilitates a deeper understanding between humans and non-humans, evolved from her work as a certified polychromatic light therapist. I'm going to ask her about what that is. Equine photopuncture therapist and health coach. She's a channeler of animal consciousness and shares messages from the animal kingdom for the benefit of humans. The author of multiple articles on human and animal well-being. Mendelson is a magna cum laude graduate of the University of Pennsylvania, great college. She's also at work on another book. We'll find out a little bit about that. And her website is her name with an initial linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Sandra, as an animal lover, I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to this. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, I was on a date years ago, and we're having dinner, and we were talking about pets and animals, and the date across the table, she told me she hates animals because they are smelly. And I went, what do you mean you hate animals? And she said, yeah, I don't like them. I don't like dogs. Cats are smelly. And I politely got up, put some money down on the table to pay for dinner, and I left. Was that the nice thing for me to do or not? What do you think?
I think that was a really smart, intuitive move on your part, because if people can't begin with the basics of appreciating other beings on this planet, especially ones that come from such a good place, you don't want to date them.
No, and you know, I've always said you don't have to own an animal, because people's lifestyles, say, like mine, I'm traveling all the time, it's not fair. But to not like them, there's something wrong there, don't you think?
Yeah, I think again, just my opinion, I think there's something broken inside.
Something happened.
Something happened along the way, yeah.
I think so, too. Now, tell me about how you got involved in animal communications.
Well, you know, the good news is we all have six sensory abilities to connect with animals, whether we hear or see images. You don't have to know this when you're a child, although children are usually tapped in more than we know. It didn't happen for me until almost 6 years ago when I was working on a horse with red and infrared light therapy. It was an injured horse, and I'm all alone in this really cold barn. And I hear this voice boom loudly in my head, this hay is crap. And I look up, and I notice that the horse is flinging the hay away with his nose. And about 5 or 10 minutes later, one of the horse moms came in and announced, there's mold all over the hay. So it began very unglamorously like that. And about 3 weeks later, another horse, again, I heard in my head, stuff that completely dismantled everything I understand about human versus non-human capabilities, wisdom, awareness, and energy consciousness, and totally changed the course of my life.
Well, and then it's magnified for you as you got more and more tuned into this, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So much of this, what blocks us as humans is doubt, self-doubt. And striving. You know, you have to be in receiving mode to connect with animals. So it started with horses, who I sat in front of face-to-face, and then it began with a picture of an animal. And the horses said, believe it or not, you need to tap into other animals, not just us. This is where your telepathic abilities come in. Tune into anyone from anywhere. And I said, oh, sure, good luck with that one. And I just sat down with a pad and a pen, and that's when I heard what I knew I was not creative enough to have invented.
Now, how did you know the telepathic messages were coming from the animal and it wasn't a figment of, let's say, a vivid imagination, you know, where we all hear these little voices say things in our heads? How do you know it wasn't that?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. It took me an entire 3 years of solving problems for people by getting solutions and answers from their horses until I could fully believe that I was not making this up. I mean, if a horse wouldn't jump and spooked at everything, and they brought in every, you know, trainer, checked the feet, the saddle, the veterinarian, everything, no one could figure out what it was. And I'm brushing my teeth, and I see an image of the horse, and I hear it's all in my head and my eyes. I get crushing headaches. I don't know when they're going to come. Everything's wavery. I need glasses. So I said, bring in a chiropractor and adjust his head. And sure enough, he had TMJ. His head was off. 2 years later, he's been sailing over the jumps, you know, ever since then. So we humans are rightfully skeptical and need a lot of proof.
Now, when they communicate with you, do they make any sounds at all where they look like they're trying to voice it?
Sometimes a horse will whinny or snort. One of the parts of this big reveal is how much communicating animals do amongst themselves through the thought stream. So, you know, they tend to save noises for bigger things, alerts, important information. You know, and that's something that most of us have not been made privy to. So it is that is one of the places that we can meet them.
You would have been great with Mr. Ed had he been around with you, huh? Hello, Sandra. You know. Who seems to communicate more in terms of the species? A dog, a cat, a horse?
Well, that's a really good question. And I need to preface this by saying, number one, there are animal communicators popping up all over the world. I am one of a growing number. No one gets it all. No one gets every single detail. I think we tend to limit ourselves saying, I had someone tell me the other day, I can only speak Shih Tzu or I can only speak dog. Animals will, I can't really say there's one species that will speak more. I do know that horses in particular are the one animal where people across the world are writing to me and sharing what messages they are receiving from their horses.
Now, why do you think that is? Why the horse?
Well, you know something, from what I have learned from them, they are one of the most ethereal animals. They are partnering with humans in our awakening. You can say, all right, they're really big but really sensitive. You know, the outside of a horse is good for the inside of a man. You know, ask anybody that has a horse, and they will tell you how much more is going on and how much they are learning by being in the presence of this animal. And what I've been told is that animals get their energy in different ways, and horses in particular, are you ready? Leave their bodies to connect with all that is, because their frequency gets lower by being in a body.
I've had racehorses before, and I got to tell you, they are so aware and alert. There's nothing like looking into the eyes, Sandra, of a horse, and you know you've been there, because they have that twinkle, don't they?
There is, yes, is the first answer. And the second answer is what animals, and horses in particular, have revealed. They read your energy field. They're reading your thought stream. They get information from so many sources, and we think that we are advanced. That's the big joke. So imagine, Dr. Doolittle, if you will, is not a myth, and there is this incredibly rich 3D world that animals live in and experience, and that's what they have stepped forward to share, because I think at this point in time, enough of us are willing to listen.
In your particular case, would you say that you get along better with animals than humans?
A lot of people tell me that. You know what? We are all here to grow and heal together. So I have a lot of compassion for humans because, yes, I am one, but the animals have shown me, in particular, how we limit ourselves, how our living the life of the mind, which only humans are prisoners of, is so crushing to the psyche and how much we've separated ourselves from. So animals are always honest. I mean, sometimes they will protect themselves, but they have less of a challenge being themselves than we do. So,
what are the animals primarily trying to communicate to us? I mean, is it their own personal well-being, they're hungry, or are they warning us about certain things? What do they seem to be trying to do?
Well, you know, I opened up the floor to them. I had absolutely no agenda other than, what do you want us to know? And then I started asking questions like, what have we gotten wrong? Meaning, you know, what misconceptions have we made? So some animals can, and again, I didn't get everything, but enough species came through, and some corrected some of the crazy myths we have and misunderstandings about their behavior. But interestingly enough, most of them came through with, this is the information we want you humans to know, so you understand how to enjoy life more, how to be more peaceful, how to get through hardships and negative emotions and savor life and trust the signals of your own body. So they have come through with so much beautiful guidance for us that we don't perhaps already embrace because we are human.
Let me use a dog as an example. If you have a dog as the family pet, in most cases, that dog's not going to bite you. I mean, they're loving, they lie on the floor or on the couch with you, they try to jump into bed with you. They're not going to bite you. Now, there are some dogs out there, of course, that have bitten people. I got bitten when I was a little kid. It took me years to really get adjusted to dogs again after that. But most dogs that are family pets aren't going to bite you. How do they know this? How do they know to be friendly?
Well, first of all, they start out by giving you a 10. They always give humans the benefit of the doubt. And again, in comes a disclaimer. When humans inflict damage, whether it's through abuse, neglect, poisoning, whatever it is, we can change the basic nature of an animal. So humans read as I mentioned before, they read our intention. You can watch the way a dog responds to you when your heart is wide open.
Yeah.
That dog will just go, oh, my goodness. And you know, the human at the other end of a leash, for example, will get such a kick out of it because the dog comes running right up to you because of your intention and your thoughts.
Next hour, we're going to take your calls with Sandra, your questions, and maybe you can share your own stories with your own animals on some of the things we're talking about. Now, she's not an animal psychic. She's not going to communicate with your departed animal or anything like that, but we will take phone calls as we talk about this. We walk beside you. And you're writing another book, too, aren't you?
Well, I've got a lot of stuff coming in since the book came out in October. So it's just up to the universe to decide whether the next one's going to be for adults and going into the deeper realms or whether it's for children. I got stuff for both.
Who do animals get along better with, kids or adults?
Well, they have a lot of compassion for us adults. You know, as I had a horse tell me, you know, I said, do you have messages for kids? They're like, you are all children. You mean, what would I say for those of you who have less time in your current form, meaning children? So they love the purity of children, but they also see that we are still that underneath all of our misconceptions.
Why do animals, Sandra, seem to have so much sensitivity? Example, years ago when they had the Indonesian tsunami that killed 200,000 people, the animals were the first ones to head for the hills. I mean, they knew before any human that there was something happening, that there was something coming. The elephants ran, the lions and tigers ran. Everything took off for the hills. How did they get to be so sensitive environmentally and environment-wise with what they do.
Well, actually, once upon a time, we were too.
We lost it.
Yes. We can recover it, but we went into the life of the mind within the last couple thousand years. And animals still feel the energy of Mother Earth. And as I mentioned, they get their energy, they get information from so many sources, such as the birds. I mean, imagine that's their, you know, there's no fly zone. There is no cell zone. Birds transmit information everywhere. And there's more that I can share in a moment about all the different ways they get information. But remember, they feel Mother Earth. They have never disconnected.
Yeah, they do feel it, don't they? And it's remarkable. And when we talk about breeds of dogs, for example, what do you prefer?
I prefer rescues. No specific comments on how humans try to manipulate DNA to bring their dog back. But I believe in the individuality of each animal, you know, soul and the path of the soul. And that is what animals are highly attuned to. I can talk more about that if you want, but it's the individual soul of the animal, not the shell, that matters.
Well, with Sandra Mendelson, we're talking about her work, We Walk Beside You, about animals. It's truly remarkable work. What's your favorite part of the book?
Wow. There's a couple of things that animals came through with that completely, completely blew my mind. I had the most fun when the squirrels told me all the different ways they get information. And I think I was really blown away when the horses started telling me, you know, animals always use their minds to create what they want to have happen. And other animals said it too. They manifest. They only focus on the positive because more of it will be created. And that this is all an illusion. That one blew me away.
Sandra, what is a polychromatic light therapist, which is what you are? What is that?
Well, you know, technology has harnessed the power of light to stimulate the body to heal. And light tools, specifically LED light therapy, cold lasers, use red and infrared, different colors of light, different wavelengths, to stimulate healing in the body. So that is what it means to use that on humans and animals.
When you go to a kennel, let's say, to pick out a puppy, people generally will pick out the puppy that is approachable, comes running up to them. We used to do that. You know, when we'd have labs, we'd go and there'd be like six of them running around. But the one that came up to us and played with the little kids, that's the one we took home. They seem to know that, don't they?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because a blind cat completely changed what I thought humans were driving the bus on, if you will.
Yeah.
And what she said is, I chose my human mom every bit as much as she chose me. This is how we affect your thinking. We connect with your higher self that always knows the best course of action and make the sound loud enough so you hear it.
They know what they're doing. Sandra, we're going to come back in just a moment, and the next hour we'll take phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. George Norrie with you. Sandra Mendelson with us. We'll take calls next hour, questions, and maybe your own animal stories. Sandra, in terms of what you've done, what would you say surprised you the most about the communications with the animals? Anything revolutionary pop up or anything like that?
Oh, gosh, yes. I had no idea about, number one, how intentional animals are. What we say is instinct, so much of the time is conscious choice on their parts. I mean, imagine, you know, what do camels do? They drag stuff around all day long, and they choose how they look at what they do to see it as something positive. So how animals work with their own perspective and their own outlook on things is absolutely breathtaking to me. And the other part is as I may have mentioned before, how energetically tuned in they are, how they read energy fields. And in fact, they put the quality of energy before accomplishment, before anything that has to be done. And we humans do the opposite. We're always about do.
Are they more evolved than we are?
That's a good question. You know what? The number one principle is that animals are individual souls just the way we are. So they're all at different places, unique places on their path. So some are more adjusted and peaceful than others. And also it's important to remember that, you know, when I'm talking about animals in their natural state, when humans come in, as I mentioned, you know, and we inflict damage, that can result in behavior that is not an animal's true nature. So most importantly to, you know, remember they are each unique beings.
I mean, do the animals get to a point where they question their existence? What is God? I mean, has that ever happened?
Great question. Animals partner with spirit in all things. I mean, when I had to tune into chickens, I was asking animals, how do you connect with spirit? And we, as a society, still do not embrace the consciousness of chickens, if you will. And to hear from them that they have to tap, if they could not connect with the spirit, their lives would have no meaning. They have to look at their lives in the bigger scheme of things, that this is assisting, if you will, the evolution of their own souls and the bigger picture. So that truly...
Did that surprise you?
Oh, tremendous. Well, you know something? Yes and no. I didn't realize, and many animals, starting with the horses, have told me, you know, what humans believe, they know. They don't question the existence of spirit and do nothing without it, whether here from gorillas or, you know, it doesn't matter the species. So spirit is a real thing. And the other thing is what they have shared with me is their understanding of what we call death. And to them, it's just you're in a body for a while, and then you shed this, and then you come back to learn other lessons in another form.
So they believe in reincarnation, basically.
As a tiger said, you humans believe, we know.
That's an interesting question and statement. That is fascinating. They're not scared of dying, are they?
No, because as a skunk told me, to us, it's just a human construct. Death is just a human construct. You know, when you move on to the next form, you have adventures that you can't have now.
I hope you dealt with that skunk from a distance.
You know, that's the beautiful thing, as a lion said, you know, when you're on the telepathic level, you know, everyone is equal and there's no fear.
Have you ever communicated with an angry animal?
Angry, no. Bitter, yes.
Bitter.
And that was a chimpanzee.
What was it bitter about?
Oh, my goodness. He sounded just like a 90-year-old man. I was so excited to tune into chimpanzees. And when one came through, he was like, don't give me this. What is this, another study? And I said, no. And he was just, talk about the individuals at different levels on their path.
He'd been burned before or something.
He
was burned before or something.
Yeah, he just came from that place where, you know, everything that humans have brought, have, you know, deforestation and disease, you know, his whole family was wiped out. And, you know, it's just like us. There are people that choose to rest in the old way of thinking, which is all negativity and scarcity, or envisioning what comes next and creating what we want to have happen. And it's the same for animals.
Sandra, can an individual connect with his or her animal? And if so, how do they do that?
Well, you know, I actually have on my blog post how to start connecting with animals. We all have these abilities, but there are, not but, really, and there are at least 8 different ways that we can receive messages, whether we hear something or we sense it in our bodies or just have paracognition, that sense of instant knowing. So we need to give ourselves the chance to find out what our individual gifts are. And when you strive, you can't receive. So, I mean, there's some good pointers to get started in my blog post, and also a link for people that want to pursue this further with, you know, wonderful animal communicators that teach classes if you really want to go further and deeper.
Do you have to look at the animal eye to eye or anything like that?
Actually, no. In fact, sometimes animals choose not to. You know, they communicate with each other. You know, you see these two dogs encounter each other, and they're not even looking at each other. They're just kind of milling around. Oh, they're having a huge conversation. So, no, you don't need to look at them, and they don't need to look at you.
Had the animal ever been a human being in another life?
Oh, boy, I'm glad you asked that. When I first got started, there was this wonderful horse. And I never really told this to too many people, but he told me his name was Frederick. And he was studying the intersection of science and religion at the time of the Italian Renaissance. And he wanted me to call him Frederick because it reminded him of all he was capable of. And I just started sobbing. But they, again, they look at it very differently than we do. Other animals have said, you know, and I said, what were you before? To a crow. He said, I was a snail and a cat and a bull. I said, how about human? He said, not yet, but stay tuned.
I love that. I love that. Some people will never be able to communicate with an animal. How come? Where's that block come from?
The mind. The mind.
On behalf of the human or the animal?
On behalf of the human. Well, look, you know, animals all retain the right to share with you or not. I mean, so far... And you did mention something before. Yes, I do animal communication sessions, but I need to do them separate from the human vibration. So people typically will send me a picture. I have them ask permission of their pet, and they provide me with any questions they want me to ask. So I've never gotten an animal that said no because they're so excited to have a deeper understanding and connection with humans.
I did a television show on our Beyond Belief segments with a turtle, and the program had to do with communicating with animals. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to sync up with this turtle, of all things. It was a box tortoise, and I'm telling you, Sandra, this thing like looked at me. It like connected, and I mean it was there. It was patient. It had its neck out. Yeah, it seemed to be listening to every word I said. It was really weird. I mean, can we say that even a turtle can communicate with you?
There is no less consciousness in a flea than there is in a whale or an ape or a human.
Okay.
They are, I mean, what you felt is what's really going on. And because we humans are so impatient and we're striving and pushing and trying, we block ourselves from receiving what they're trying to share with us. Imagine how frustrated. I mean, they're not frustrated. They're used to us. But if we were suddenly plunked in their situation, we'd say, you're not listening. You're not listening. It's about allowing. So what you were feeling from that tortoise was absolutely right.
They feel pain. They feel everything we do, don't they?
Yes. And sometimes perhaps more because... they don't block it.
In your career, what has been the most dramatic aspect of what you do?
Well, that's a good question. I have to say that, you know, feeling like there is this entire world right under our noses that we have placed ourselves outside of. And what came through, and I had to put in a book because I didn't know how else to communicate it to cover all these bases. I really believe it can completely change our perspective of what we're doing on this planet with other beings. We have no idea about this. I mean, can you imagine? There are actually even super athletes. I had a squirrel come through, and hysterically funny. That telling me how they have super athletes and they train and they push themselves to greater and greater heights every day. And I'm just like, whoa. So if people open up to this, I think they also will make perhaps different choices in their lives about perhaps what they buy or you know, how they interact with animals, to know that they are completely aware, conscious. They have their own system of ethics. I mean, wild stuff.
I got to ask you this. I've always thought about it because, you know, we've talked about humans having souls, animals having souls. What about insects? I mean, they're living too. Do they have souls? Do the little ants have souls? I mean, do mosquitoes have souls?
Yes.
I
and
knew
again,
it.
I only tapped into the insect world. They spoke as one. And what they said was kind of breathtaking.
You know, the next time I step on a spider, I'm going to feel sorry.
Well, small creatures have also said, you know, it's better that humans don't know that with every step they take, they're killing something.
Yep.
I mean, we'd never be able to walk. But what the insects actually said is they chose this life of seeming anonymity in surrender to totality. So the total relinquishing of ego as the beginnings of the animal food chain. And that they weave patterns of energy that we do not see, but nonetheless they are there.
Sandra, as human beings, how can we take this knowledge that you possess of communicating with the animals and use it for our benefit?
I think if we really, you know, the animal said, please tell people to read this stuff slowly to absorb it. The animals all know that at the very root of our behavior is self-love or the lack of it. And so animal after animal came through with so much beautiful guidance for us to love ourselves more, for example, and by extension, it will be easier to love the rest of our world. So if we read what the animals share, we really, and absorb it into our daily lives, we become happier, we become more peaceful, we stop forcing things and go more with the flow of life and become kinder and more compassionate to all living things around us.
There's a lot of abuse of animals in laboratories and other ways. Have they communicated with you at all?
Well, I purposely did not seek out those situations because of a number of things. First of all,
it's going to be heartbreaking.
There are many organizations and individuals that fortunately are laying bare all of the abuses that we humans have created. But the animals came through wanting to show humans the other portion of the perspective because they use their minds and they want us to also to create what we want to see more of. And so that's why everything they came through with to share with me and other humans is to give us a full understanding of who they are. So it's kind of the other half of the coin of laying bare the atrocities, is also seeing all of this breathtaking wisdom and consciousness and sensitivity.
And by doing this, what has this done for a human being like yourself? I mean, has this made you a better person?
I think it has, you know what, it does help us really get in touch with our own goodness. And I think humans deprive themselves because we're moving so fast and striving so much that we don't even take enough time to notice all of our own goodness. So, yes, other people have told me that by reading the animal's words that makes them want to be a better person. And I think it just is a natural outgrowth that you become happier and kinder and more peaceful, and you move through the world that way.
One of the saddest aspects of having a pet is, of course, you know, having to say goodbye to it. You know, we used to have Labradors, and, you know, and if you could get 15 or 16 years out of them, that was pretty good. So you knew there was going to be a finite moment here. And I got to tell you, Sandra, it is heartbreaking. It's like losing a member of your family. It's sad. And then when you've got little kids and they know that the little dog's not going to be around anymore, it tears you apart, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And that's also one of the reasons to bring this information forward, The animals keep trying to show us how to savor all the millions of little moments. Being with your pet in real time, no phone, no earbuds, not having your mind in the past or in the present, but truly being in the moment with your pet is one of the major lessons they're trying to teach us. And that is how we can make the most of our time with them. Once they leave this physical form, yes, they are still with us energetically in spirit, but we miss the physicality, you know. So that is why the lessons are to be fully here.
That's so true. Sandra, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with phone calls with you and stories next on Coast to Coast AM.